Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and you're tuned in to Let's Face the Issues, another broadcast where we face issues that we all look at day by day and unfortunately so often are not addressed in such a way that we can deal with them. We face the issues based on the authority of Scripture. It's not a matter of ideological philosophy. It's not a matter of denominational distinctives. It's a matter of what does the Word of God say. And I pray that that is the source book for your daily walk and your daily life. I pray that you study the Word, that you allow God to hide the Word in your heart, that there might be a defense for the faith once delivered to the saints, as is found in the Scripture. As we face the issues, we do so based on the Scripture, what I call a biblical worldview. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," John 17:17. And prior to him saying that, he'd already told his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, there are a lot of folks who will parse that verse in John 8:31 and 32, and they say, you know, the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Well, that is half truth. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, that's the word of God, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. That is, you're a true disciple. That's what the word indeed means. You're a true disciple. And if you stay in the word, Jesus said, then you will know the truth, and it's the truth of the word of God that'll make you free. And so don't let someone misrepresent that scripture to you. It's a very important scripture for us to understand the rudimentary fundamentals of believing in the Word of God and what the Scripture says that will give us freedom in our life. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just say to you, if you want to join in this dialogue and discussion today, and it's a very important one, we're going to be talking about the subject of signs of the last days. Signs of the last days. You can ask questions, biblical, theological, doctrinal, political, social, ethical, etc. That's what this broadcast is about. You can join in the dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. That'll get you right through so that we can have your discussion and your input, your question, and we might be able to respond to your questions and have proper dialogue on it. Ladies and gentlemen, the next thing on the calendar of God is the rapture of the church. And by the way, the classic text for that in the Bible is found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And the rapture is the word rapturus. It is the snatching away that's talked about in the 1 Thessalonians text that we transliterate from the scripture from the rapture. We call it the rapture. It's the rapturus, the snatching away, the sudden seizure. That's the day, and it could happen today. It could happen before this broadcast is over. It's imminent. There are no signs to be fulfilled for the rapture of the church. The church could be snatched out at any moment, the bride of Christ. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're snatched up. We go up to be with the Lord. And then when Jesus Christ returns, in Revelation chapter 19, verses 11 through 16, we return with him. And of course, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 and following, we return with him. And in Matthew 25, verse 31 and following, all the holy angels return with the Lord Jesus Christ when he returns. But ladies and gentlemen, between the rapture of the church and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is a span of time that is right now we're living in the church age, the day of grace. We do not know when the rapture will take place, when that day of grace, the church age, will be suddenly concluded. And then after that, the 7 years of tribulation, when the Antichrist, the one that is referred to as the man of sin, steps on the scene and rules and reigns. And by the way, my book that was recently released about a month ago, The Coming Antichrist, 144 pages, about seven chapters, some of the best reading, I believe, that's in print today, that identifies the biblical character known as the Antichrist. He is a real personage, and he is in the world today. And he will step on the scenes when the church is raptured out, and he will rule with an iron hand. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about now the signs of the last days. Now, we're not talking about the signs of the rapture, because there are no signs to be fulfilled for the rapture to take place. But there are a multitude of signs that point to us that we're in the last days, coming to the point where the church will be raptured out and the 7 years of tribulation will take place. The Bible says in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, verses 1 and following, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that do good." Ladies and gentlemen, we're in the last days. We know that because there are those that despise those that do good. If you don't believe that, you just talk in general communication in the conversations that you have each day. You talk about Jesus. You talk about the Bible. You confront the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental garbage that's going on in society, and you will find immediately that you will be avoided and shunned and become an outcast from the general folks that move around you at your workplace, the marketplace, or at school. That's because you're taking a stand for what is righteous. And the scripture goes on to say in this third chapter of 2 Timothy, in verse 1, 2, 3, and 4, men will be without natural affection, truce breakers, false teacher, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that do good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. Now, when it says that we will find in the last days there will be perilous times, what does it mean, perilous times? Well, you'll find more and more mass murders, as you're finding today, where people will go in because of an evil, wicked heart, according to Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful and wicked. Who can know it? You'll find more and more of the mass murders. You'll find more and more evil taking place. By the way, mass murders do not take place because of guns. It's because of the lack of God. It's because of the lack, L-A-C-K, the deficit of having God in the life and the heart of an individual. But the word perilous in that text means dark, devastating, dangerous, destructive, deadly. In these last days, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible warns in 2 Peter 3, verse 3 and 4, the Bible warns that there will be those that will be scoffers, laughing and mocking and making fun of. There'll be scoffers that will make fun of the actual coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, in that 2 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4, they will laugh and mock and say, in essence, if I can paraphrase the text for our understanding of it, they'll be laughing and mocking and say, well, you guys, you folks have always been talking about the second coming of Christ. You've always been talking about the last days. You've always been talking about these catastrophic things that shall take place, and the devastation and the destruction of the world. You've always been talking about it. Jesus hadn't returned yet. He's simply not going to return. It's the mockers and the scoffers. And you have that today. You have that throughout society today, not just around the world, but more and more concentrated here in the United States of America also. Also, we know that in the last days, the world will not be expecting the end to come, according to the scripture in Matthew chapter 24, verse 36, 37, 38, and 39. In that text, Matthew 24, verse 36 through 39, it tells us that there will be our society. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it tells us that society will be just like it was in the days of Noah, when they were partying, they were frolicking, they were laughing, the total lack of concern for the condition of the world. And ladies and gentlemen, may I say that today, we see a lax in morality. We see the sodomite lifestyle that is growing and growing and growing, where politicians are bowing and bending and licking the boots of the LGBT group. And ladies and gentlemen, listen, it's a frightening thing to me. It is sad when we understand that less than 2 to 4% of society is now in control of governmental affairs and making laws and regulations. The governor of Georgia, his name is Deal. Governor Deal. Governor Deal just vetoed a bill that was passed unanimously, not unanimously, but with a major vote in the House and Senate in Georgia that would disallow and prevent the sodomites from persecuting and prosecuting Christian businesses. He vetoed the bill. And just because there are folks walking up and down the street in front of the Capitol carrying placards and signs saying, we don't want men in the ladies' restrooms, we don't want men in the ladies' locker rooms, we don't want men in the ladies' dressing rooms. As a result of that, some of those that were demonstrating with those placards on legal property where they could do so in the public domain on the sidewalks, they were summarily arrested and put in jail simply because of free speech. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, that was as a result of the Georgia State Patrol carrying out the behest of the Deal governorship that is in the state of Georgia. I'm saddened by it when I see the demoralization of our society brought on by the wicked, evil politicians that are simply looking for votes. They don't want to have any of the, the bad publicity that they've said something bad about the sodomites and those that want to practice that lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a demonstrably stench in the nostrils of God. We're talking about that we're looking at the signs of the last days. And just as the scripture says in Matthew 24, verse 36 and following, talking about the last days would be just like in Genesis before the flood, where they were laughing and partying and marrying and giving in marriage. Literally, ladies and gentlemen, it tells us that in the last days, one of the signs will be that there's no interest in biblical truth. There's no interest in serving God. There's no interest in church. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you're one of these. I don't know. But there are folks today that will go to stadiums and watch the football game and stay out there in all the elements, whether it's the blistering heat and the sun or the rain and the snow or the extreme cold, just to watch the football game. But they are miserable to spend 1 hour in a worship service. There's some folks today that claim to be saved, just as lost as a green ball in high weeds. They have their name on a church roll someplace. They're miserable going to church. They sit and tolerate the pastor preaching. And this is the reason so many preachers today preach a sermonette for Christianettes, because they don't want to get riled up, some of those that are non-Christians traveling under the banner of being a Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian with a membership in the local New Testament church. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the signs of the last days. And may I remind us, the scripture is very, very clear in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, where the Bible clearly says, now the Spirit, that's talking about the Holy Spirit, speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed, that is paying attention to, seducing demonic spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy, saying, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Ladies and gentlemen, we're there today. We're witnessing today the great apostasy, the falling away. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the signs of the last days. You want to join in this dialogue and discussion? You can do so by simply dialing 401-1413, 904-401-1413. You might say, well, Dr. Youngblood, I think this is pretty harsh. No, it's biblical truth. You might say, well, it is pretty pointed, and it's pretty, yes, it is, and it's meant to be. We need to wake up, sit up, look up, listen up, and realize we're in the last days. In fact, may I simply say, I believe we're in the last of the last days when you study the totality of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We find one of the great signs of the last days is that of apostasy. We're witnessing today the great falling away from the faith. We're witnessing today the falling away from the church and the Word of God. Church attendance today is down internationally. Church attendance is down severely. Those that get saved, the numbers getting saved every year within the realm of the Baptist denominations and multitudes of other mainline denominations, the number of those that make a profession of faith in Jesus Christ and come into the fellowship of a local New Testament church, those statistical numbers are diminishing dramatically on an annual basis. Why is that so? Because of the apostasy, the falling away. In fact, ladies and gentlemen, If you want to know where America is going to be 5 years from now, if Jesus tarries, all we need to do is look at the past 12 months in the United Kingdom. 500 churches have closed and 430 new mosques have opened. You heard me right. 500 churches closed and 430 new mosques have opened. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the major, major change. It is a major, major change in societal lifestyle today in America and around the globe. We're watching the invasion, the Islamic invasion of the world that is spoken of, the Islamic invasion, the coming. In fact, one of my books that was written a number of years ago entitled The Coming Global Islamic Invasion, and that's found in Ezekiel 38 and 39. Ezekiel 37, the rebirth of the nation of Israel. Ezekiel 38 and 39, the Russia leading five Islamic nations to come against Israel to try to crush Israel and ultimately will promulgate into a total global conflagration that will ultimately then lead into the Battle of Armageddon and the final days of this old world. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the major problems we find in the apostasy today is that we have the millennials, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, and I'm not trying to beat up on the millennials, but it's an absolute statistical fact because they were raised up in a home where God is not prominent, where God is not the central focus, where Jesus Christ is not taught, where there's no biblical salvation, where there's a loose, lax, lost, liberal mindset when it comes to church. You see, there are a lot of folks today that have the philosophy that I'm going to church just to keep my child out of the reform school. I'm going to take my child to church because I want a safe place for him or her. I'm going to put my child in a Christian school because I want my child to be away from the harm and danger in the public venue. Ladies and gentlemen, that's not Christianity. That's a spirituality. That's religiosity. That's not true biblical Christianity. And we're watching a diminishing of the biblical fact of Christianity in our world today. Christianity is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a religion. It is a relationship. And the only way that there can be a relationship to God is through Jesus Christ, and that's by volitional choice. Ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that's just some of the things we're seeing today that we're witnessing that point us into the prophetic future that tells us that we're living in the last days. There's the falling away that I just spoke of. That is the disinterest in spiritual things. Then there's the failure, if you will, to recognize that we're living in the last days by the fact that we see false teachers abounding. Matthew 24 and Matthew 7 talks about the fact that in the last days, there'll be false teachers, false prophets, those that will come on the scenes claiming to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, listen, you don't want to get me off track, but I want us to understand that we have a major, major problem with biblical heresy being promulgated from pulpits across our nation today. If you're a preacher, you're listening to me, listen up for just one moment. If you're preaching psychobabble, if you're telling folks how to feel good about themselves, if you're telling people how to have health and wealth, if you're telling people that the Bible says that we ought to prosper and be in good health as our life is in good health, and you misrepresent the truth of what that word prosper means in that text in the scripture, ladies and gentlemen, if that's taking place today in your church, there's a major problem with biblical heresy being promulgated from that pulpit. And I understand that there's some folks get a little upset with biblical fact, with biblical truth, with being pointed as I am today. But I'm concerned about the condition of our nation. I'm concerned about the lostness of society. I'm concerned about the direction that our churches are going in and those that claim to have a relationship with Jesus Christ standing in the pulpits preaching psychobabble, telling people how to feel good about themselves. I'm concerned that we're living in the last days, and yet there seems to be a lackadaisical, nonchalant, mamsy-pamsy the attitude about we are afraid to hurt somebody's feelings because it might run them away. Any preacher that says, well, I'm afraid if I really preach the truth of the Word of God, I'll run some people off. Preacher, where are you going to run them to? Hell number two? Hell number three? Listen, we need to stand and be the watchman on the wall and stand and speak truth from the Word of God. But today, God's Word is being rejected. Today, God's Word is absolutely in the if you please, in the category of that which ought not to be talked about. In fact, today, the cross is in danger. Here's an article that I want to just read your blurb. Judges warned that hundreds of crosses are now at risk. The World War I memorial, known as the Blandingburg Cross in Blandingburg, Maryland, is under attack after atheists and Muslims. Hundreds, listen, this article says, hundreds of crosses at war memorials across America are at risk because a panel from the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals condemned the World War I Veterans Memorial Cross, and the destruction at the full court refused to reconsider. Ladies and gentlemen, I could read you the entire article. Time will not allow. But that's one of the signs, ladies and gentlemen, that we're in the last days. The signs of the last days is when there's a repulsion at the cross. There's a rejection of the cross. Why? Because it represents Christ. It represents biblical truth. It represents sin. It represents the fact that Jesus Christ, Yeshua Messiah, died on the cross for your sins and for my sins. Ladies and gentlemen, Christians are being mocked today. Christians are being called mentally ill. Joy Behar on The View, the Always Bashing Christ Network, ABC, Always Bashing Christians Network, simply allows her to have free reign and to make fun of Vice President Pence and say that he's mentally ill because he talks to Jesus and Jesus talks to him. Ladies and gentlemen, that's part of the indication that we're living in the last of the last days. Here's an article that says, a condo banned senior citizens Bible study and Christian music. The sign was not very hard to miss. Quote, any and all Christian music is banned. That message was posted on an organ located in the Commons area of Cambridge House, a condo building in Port Charlotte, Florida. Residents could belt out any old song they want to in the secular, but they were not permitted to sing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. The article goes on to say residents were also told that they could no longer host a Bible study in the Commons area, according to the Fair Housing complaint filed with the Department of Housing and Urban Development. Quote, prayers and other religious services, observations, or meetings of any nature shall not occur within the association, that is, the owners' meetings, members' meetings, committee meetings, or otherwise, and shall not occur in or upon any of the common element, the resolution read. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Christian bashing. That is the diminishing of Christianity. That is the brazen condition that we're in our society today, where Christians are mocked, Christians are laughed at, Christians are persecuted and prosecuted by law. Here's an article that says Christian owner owned bridal shop that faced death threats will close in anticipation of the new LGBT law. The WW Bridal in bridal business in Bloomington, Pennsylvania, will close its doors March the 30th in anticipation of a new LGBT, that is otherwise known as a sodomite protection ordinance. The bridal shop owners and employees reportedly endured years of death threats over standing firm in their Christian faith by refusing to take part in same-sex weddings. The new ordinance would reportedly ban discrimination against sexual orientation and thus would be putting the company in jeopardy. And ladies and gentlemen, we're finding that promulgating and being absolutely the focus across America today. What we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is the signs of the last times, the signs of the last days. And we're in that, where Christians are persecuted and prosecuted because of their faith. Christians are prosecuted if they're wedding planners and cake bakers that are Christians refuse to participate in a sodomite wedding because of their conscience before Holy God. A lack of biblical preaching from the pulpit indicates we're in the last days. A lack of biblical preaching and preaching the truth indicates that we're in the last of the last days. I'll never forget, and I'll just read you a portion of an article. It was written by Charles Finney, the great British evangelist of yesteryear, December the 4th, 1873, in his writing on the decay of conscience. He says, if he's talking about now that which takes place in society. If immorality prevails in the land, it's the pulpit that's at fault. If there's a decay of conscience, it's the pulpit at fault. If the people, if the press lacks any discrimination, properly speaking, the pulpit is at fault. If the church is disintegrating into worldliness, the pulpit is at fault. If the world loses its witness in Christ, the pulpit is at fault. If Satan continues to rule and reign in the halls of legislation, the pulpit is at fault. If our politics become so corrupt and the foundations of our government are ready to fall, the pulpit is at fault. Ladies and gentlemen, even in 1873, Charles Finney recognized that one of the major problems in society is that the pulpit. And I can't emphasize it enough. There's a need to get back to biblical pulpit preaching. There's a need for pastors and preachers and teachers to be the watchman on the wall and not afraid to stand and say, "Thus saith the word of God," even if it might step on toes and rile feelings. But most preachers are afraid they'd lose their job. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a pastor, preacher, teacher, and you're in the business, if you please, of obeying God's word and honoring him, and you're fearful that you'll be fired, then you're just a hireling. You're going to run when the wolf comes, and you'll not protect the sheep. And that's one of the problems that I find in society today, ladies and gentlemen. We have that feel-good cotton candy preaching where pastors are afraid to lose their job and not preach the whole truth of the word of God. Yes, we're talking about the signs of the times. We're living in the signs of the last days. Not only these general signs are found as in the scripture, but may I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing some very significant events that are happening which point us to the very last of the last days. Israel will be 70 years old as a nation on May the 14th of 2018. And as a result, I want us to understand our president, President Donald J. Trump, will be participating in the recognition of the opening of the embassy in Jerusalem and not in Tel Aviv, where Jerusalem is now recognized as the capital of Israel. And ladies and gentlemen, it's not something that's new. Israel's capital has been Jerusalem for 4,000 years. If you don't believe that, go back and study the book of Genesis. You'll find that 4,000 years, Israel has been the capital, Jerusalem has been the capital of Israel. But ladies and gentlemen, we have some frightening news and reports about the potential now of an 8.5-ton satellite coming down upon us in America. Here's the article, and I'll close with this information. Will the free-falling 8.5-ton Chinese spacecraft crash into Lower Michigan? Experts say that the state falls among the highest probability. The spacecraft is one spacecraft that's been out of control since September 2016. Agencies around the world have been monitoring the doomed craft and its descent. Lower Michigan, among regions with highest probability of being hit by debris, experts from the aerospace say it will reenter Earth's atmosphere April the 3rd, give or take a week or two. Around 10% to 40% of the satellites expected to survive the reentry. Ladies and gentlemen, if that is not biblical prophecy, nothing is. Because in the 8th chapter of the book of the Revelation, the scripture says, "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and fell upon the earth, the third part of the rivers, and upon the fountains of the waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood." And ladies and gentlemen, time won't allow us to go into the exegetical understanding of that, but I want you to understand that it's the future tense. It may not be this spacecraft, but you realize there's over 8,000 dead spacecraft articles out there and out of space. They've got to come down someplace, and this is one that's going to hit the United States of America in Michigan. So, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the last of the last days and the signs thereof. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air, even tomorrow, as once again, we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.